recently at a luncheon, you called a bill sponsored by Representative Will Ainsworth, calling for teachers to carry guns in schools, quote unquote, idiotic. That bill died in the session. But what do you see as the middle ground for safety?
We recently placed on our website our school safety plan at waltmaddox.com, because giving guns to teachers who are not trained is idiotic. It takes almost a year and a half worth of training at the Tuscaloosa Police Department for you to be able to discharge a firearm by yourself. And then it takes dozens of hours of training annually just to keep that certification in that firearm. To expect that teachers with limited amounts of opportunity of training, especially under real fire, could create the type of safety that Mr. Ainsworth wants is idiotic. What we've proposed is this. Number one, we need to work on hardening our existing facilities through a bond issue using the public school funds. Second is that the state of Alabama needs to provide 1,000 additional SRO, security resource officers, throughout our state. And the third thing that we need to do is have required design standards built into new schools that are constructed that absolutely put safety first, including the use of different types of technology.
When you say hardening our schools, what types of things do you mean?
Well, I think that's going to be left up to the individual schools and the types and the age of the structure, but certainly everything ranging from metal detectors to metal locking doors to everything necessary that if you do have an active shooter, you're able to contain the environment which it's in.
Like U.S. Senator Doug Jones, you are a Democrat running in a red state. What do you think his campaign did right? What lessons have you taken from it?
Well, I think what it did right is it showed Democrats in the state that we can win, and it showed moderates in the state that there can be quality Democratic candidates that can appeal to the things that matter to you the most, whether it's health care, education, roads, bridges, jobs. I think we're on the right side of history on those issues. And when you look at Alabama, that's been 45th, 46th, 47th, 48th, 49th, and 50th in everything that matters. I think people are tired of rhetoric, and they're looking for candidates who want to provide results. We've done that for the last 12 and a half years in Tuscaloosa.
Now, historically in Alabama, there's never been a sitting mayor who went on to win the race for governor. Why did you decide to run for governor? Why not run, you know, for a seat in the legislature or even lieutenant governor?
Well, the governorship is, besides being mayor, I think the governorship is the only step up when it comes to serving people in the state of Alabama. I enjoy being the chief executive officer of Tuscaloosa. I enjoy for the last 12 and a half years waking up every day and making a difference. And in a city that's purple, even when I was reelected just last March for the third time, 89% of the vote. So we've created success that's been bipartisanship. But when I look across the horizon and I see the deficits in healthcare, the deficits in education, the deficits in the state's infrastructure, mental health, which has collapsed, our rural healthcare system, which is crumbling, only the governor has the ability to really effectively lead that change. And no matter how many good things we may do as mayors or county commissioners or whatever local elective office, unless we have the state of Alabama joining us, we're never going to be able to be that shining city on a hill, or we're never going to be a state that's no longer captioned in the bottom part of every quality of life measure rankings that occur.
Let's talk for a minute about health care. You recently announced a plan in which you vowed to try to immediately expand Medicaid. Mm-hmm. This would mean accepting federal dollars that were made available through the Affordable Care Act, and it would open up eligibility to something like 300,000 of the state's poorest residents. So right now we're seeing more state lawmakers who are Republicans in other states back Medicaid expansion in their states. Do you think the time is just right for this?
Absolutely. Well, at 331,000, mostly working Alabamians would have an opportunity for health care. Now, since we haven't taken this step in Alabama, we've had 6 rural hospitals close. 2 more announced their closure, including one in the governor's hometown in Camden. Then we've had 2 other communities raise taxes just to keep their local hospitals open. And the failure to do so has meant a $1.8 billion economic annual loss and 30,000 new jobs that we didn't capture. We don't even begin to calculate what it's done for healthcare outcomes across the state. Look at here in Birmingham, $144 million in charitable care last year at UAB alone. The expansion of Medicaid would have saved UAB tens of millions of dollars. Just imagine what UAB could have done with that in the research sciences and other things that could have certainly not only helped the economy here in Birmingham, but helped healthcare research overall.
That's care that the hospital provided for people who weren't able to pay.
That's correct. And so we cannot withstand this anymore. According to the Alabama Hospital Association, 3/4 of Alabama's hospitals are operating in deficits. The failure to expand Medicaid was a politically motivated decision that may be one of the worst policy decisions in decades, carried out knowingly by our legislature and two governors.
I want to switch gears for a second. You were the mayor of Tuscaloosa when a powerful tornado ripped through the city back in April 2011. What lessons did you learn from that time?
Well, I learned that in Alabama, we can do anything, and we're amazing people. And despite sometimes the petty things that separate us, like our political parties, race, religion, sexual orientation, when we're faced with a challenge, we have this unique image to be, or this unique ability to be the images of God and come together. Our state's in crisis. When you look at Medicaid, healthcare, education, roads, bridges, mental health, corrections, all those functions of state government are in crisis. And this is a moment where we have to come together. We have to put aside our partisan divides and begin addressing these issues. We have to leave the next generation a better Alabama than the one we've inherited. If we do not change leadership, we are going to continue to get worse. And the people of Alabama deserve better from their leaders.
Is there anything, thinking back on that time, in the weeks, months after that tornado hit, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Oh, there's a lot of things that you would have done differently, that I would have done differently, because unfortunately, no matter, and we were one of the most well-prepared cities, I believe, in the United States, that there's a host of different things that you would have done differently, including understanding what happens when you lose 17% of your police assets, your fire station, your comms, 85% of your heavy equipment. We had always assumed that when you would respond to a disaster, you'd have all your assets in play. But that's why I work with amazing public heroes every day. The 1,400 employees and 100,000 citizens of Tuscaloosa are just simply amazing. And certainly the success that we've had was a reflection of their heroic efforts.
I want to talk for a second about the lottery. You've said that you would like to see the creation of a lottery to benefit education. Others, including former Governor Robert Bentley, have tried to push the same sort of an initiative, and it faced significant opposition from the legislature. So my question to you is, and remembering too that in 1999 that issue came up for a vote, and the residents of Alabama overwhelmingly rejected it. So why do you think it might work now?
Well, I think the difference between what Governor Bentley pushed and what we will be advocating for is that some of those proceeds would go into the general fund. Our Alabama Education Lottery anticipates $300 million worth of revenue, and that $300 million will be divided in four ways. First, for a college scholarship program, very similar to what you see in Tennessee and Georgia. Universal pre-K, something that in Tuscaloosa we've been advocating for and working on since 2005. The second or the third and fourth things to me I'm really excited about because they're different, something we don't do today. One is the community innovation program. We want to provide wraparound health and mental health services in our struggling schools throughout Alabama because many of the academic deficits that we find are actually coming out through bad health care outcomes or bad mental health care outcomes. And the last thing we want to do is make up the gaps in rural funding. In Alabama, you have many places where, by the way, 42% of Alabama's public education students are in rural schools. Yet a mill rate in Marengo County is much different than a mill rate in Mountain Brook. And yet they're held to the same standards, but their reimbursements back from that local match are vastly different. We need to bridge those gaps. As long as the state is constitutionally responsible for education, it shouldn't matter where you're born in the state, whether it's inner city Birmingham, Mountain Brook, Mobile, or Marengo County, you deserve a quality education.
So how would revenue from a lottery fund bridge some of those gaps?
Well, what we would do is right now in Alabama, for example, the average millage rate is $171,000. So everyone that's below that mill rate based off a standard formula would receive funding, would divide up the $60 million that exists today. In some cases, it could be several hundred thousand. In some other cases, it could be high as $2+ million annually for those schools.
In general, what do you think sets this race for governor apart from past races? What's different this time?
Well, I think this race is about the future, and this race isn't about the politics of fear. Even on the Democrat side, I certainly believe that I'm the best candidate that can talk about and effectuate a brighter future for Alabama. But even looking on the other side, I think this race is going to boil down to the narrative of, do we want to continue to continue to be last in nearly every major quality of life category? Or do we want to have a governor that comes to office being mayor of one of Alabama's largest cities, who for every day for 12 and a half years has woken up and found solutions to challenges and is willing to speak the truth and find ways to solve problems? This election is important for our state. If we do not change our and we do not get our compass pointed true north, we will never catch up with Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida. And frankly, we will not be able to use the phrase, thank God for Mississippi, much longer. This election is about the future, and I believe I'm the best candidate to help capture a brighter future for Alabama.
You have some competition on the Democratic side heading into the primary. There are four other Democratic candidates, five on the Republican side. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's good for the Democratic Party that we have an active and vibrant primary, and I think that's going to make us all stronger. Iron sharpens iron. So I'm looking forward to that process. But I believe at the end of the day, this is about the future of Alabama and which candidate is best prepared in terms of being a Democrat to talk about the future, and which candidate, when we get to the general election, is going to be best prepared to deliver a brighter future for Alabama. I certainly feel like our record in Tuscaloosa, coupled with the energy and passion and determination to carry and move Alabama forward, is going to be sufficient enough for us to win come November.
Good. Mayor Maddox, anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, the last 12 and a half years of mayor of Tuscaloosa, I've had an opportunity to be part of, to navigate crisis, to be part of amazing and dynamic change. And I've seen what this state can be. We need leadership that reflects that. For 12 and a half years, I've led Tuscaloosa without one ethics complaint, not one hint of corruption, and we've been able to define success. Last week alone, we saw with House Bill 317 that we are opening up loopholes that, again, will take us down a road where we've seen our governor, House Majority Leader, and Speaker of the House all being removed under indictment. Alec, this is the moment in time where we have to change our image and think about Alabama's future. And as your next governor, we certainly are going to build a better Alabama so that my children, your children, all of our children can inherit a better Alabama than the one we inherited.